And let's get into the Word of God this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in a series called With Us. It is a four-week series. It'll take us past Christmas. And it is all about the scripture that says Jesus, his name will be called Emmanuel, Christ with us, Christ in us. And so let's pray. And today's message is entitled Less Than Ideal. So Christmas, a day above all others, that's what it should be. Because it is a very special birthday. I told you last week, not last week because we had our concert last week. I told you the week before that this is not just a normal birth, all right? Sometimes people in the world, Jesus was born, great, you know, but they don't get it. It wasn't a normal birth. It didn't come along the way that every normal birth on this earth came along. It was a very special birth. It was the birth of our Savior. It was the birth of the Son of our God. It was a birth like none other. And so we need to understand that if Christmas is really going to mean something to us, we need to get a better understanding of that and know what that means. And so we took it from Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Which is translated God with us. Also, the Bible takes that one step further and says God in us. And that's important because through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus left this earth, but he gave us another comforter, right? He said, I've got to go, so I'm going to send you the comforter. And this comforter, this another helper, will come not alongside you like I came alongside you and walked in the flesh. This comforter, the Holy Spirit, would come and live in you. And so Jesus was saying, though I'm going, I will very much live now within you. I will be everywhere that you are. I will be involved in every facet of your life. Everything that you partake in, I will be a part of that because the Holy Spirit is going to come and live in you. And as the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have the promises, you have the power, you have the presence of the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, living within you. And so praise God. And what we said in that last message, and it's online, what we said was that many miss the truth of what this birth means to humanity and even to themselves. Not only should we get a picture of what this birth means to humanity, but we also should have a very strong understanding of what this birth means to ourselves, because if we miss it, we cut ourselves short of the life that Jesus really came and intended us to live. See, when that happens, when we miss the truth of what this birth means, Christmas then, as we talked about last week, Christmas then just becomes the birth of another child. A famous child, but they miss out who this child really was and what this child really came to do. And thereby, really what Christmas becomes then, and we see it in our world, Christmas just becomes another day to have off of work and just to celebrate. Eat ham, eat turkey, eat whatever your culture wants, that's what Christmas becomes. And that's sad because then Christmas becomes one day when Christmas really should be a lifestyle and really something that we live out. We looked at the uniqueness of this birth. A birth that could never be duplicated, would never be matched again. He was born of a virgin. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Heaven. And I say the Son of Heaven because we see the whole host of heaven involved in the prophecy of his birth, in the announcement of his birth, and in the rejoicing of his birth. We see all of that. He was the Son of Man. He was God's way. It was God's path for God to come and live among his people. Or to live in his people, to come and live in the flesh. We said in that message that it changed humanity in a way that none other ever has. As a matter of fact, it split our calendar, BC to AD. Now, they've changed the meanings of those things. BC used to be before Christ. Now it means what? Before the common era or whatever, something like that. But you can't take Christ out, folks. This world can try whatever they want to try to take Christ out, even out of our calendar, you know, they're trying to. But it doesn't matter. You can't remove Christ from the lives of man because he's what changes humanity. You think of people who were born like Christopher Columbus. You think of people who were born like George Washington. You think of people who were born like Mother Teresa. And the things that they did, and this is just a small portion of the famous people who have affected the history of humankind, whether good or bad. Right? But these people changed our lives for the future. They changed our lives on this earth. But this baby didn't change our lives on this earth. He changed our lives for eternity. He's given us a place now that we can go to. I'm going to do Kevin Warren's, my co-worker's, mother's funeral tomorrow, as you've already heard. And in that, I'm going to go into Ecclesiastes, where it talks about it being, there's a time for everything, a time for life, a time for death, a time for celebration, a time for mourning. And one of the thoughts that God gave me yesterday as I was driving around, as I was thinking about what I wanted to say, one of the thoughts as I come to Ecclesiastes is, for this family, they may be saying, or for those looking at them, they may be saying, oh, this is the worst time of the year for this to happen. Well, truthfully, there's never a good time for anybody to pass away. But you're right, the holidays can be a bad time for that to happen. But you know what? Really, Lois knew Jesus Christ. She was a believer. This is one of the best times to pass away because we're celebrating the birth of the Savior who gave us the ability to die and go into eternity. What greater celebration could we have tomorrow around that gravesite? And so I'm going to encourage that family that, yes, this may not be the best of times. It's a busy time. It's you want to celebrate. You want to have joy. But in the midst of this, see the baby Jesus. See the Savior. See what he came to do so that mom, so that Lois, so that your sister, so that your aunt or your grandmom, so that she could go into eternity and we could stand around this gravesite and rejoice that she is no longer with us, but she is with Jesus Christ. She is with her Savior. She is with her Heavenly Father. Amen. This baby changed future for eternity. As we saw last week in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but yet now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, proof that what Jesus came to do and what his birth did is he changed us. No longer do we walk in the kingdom of darkness. We do walk amongst darkness. We do walk in this world. We're people of this world. We still have to work. We still have to live. We still have to raise families. We still have to do the things of human beings. But guess what? We are citizens of heaven. And so, though the world is in darkness, we have the light of Jesus Christ upon us. And in that, we don't have to walk in the darkness. We don't have to be blind to what is going on. We can walk in the light of Jesus Christ each and every day. And not only do we get to walk in the light each and every day, but we get to share the light with those other ones of our family. We get to share the light with those other ones of people we work with and do life with. We get to share the light with them. So hopefully they will come and join the light with us, and join the family of God with us. And so through this Christ of Christmas, I want you to know, online, I want you to know today, I know you're not here, so maybe you don't sense a presence like we have here today. Even though it seems like the service is a little blah, blah, I want to tell you what, we're worshiping today. I think we're tired, right? I think that we're going to be happy when Christmas is over. I mean, it's a buildup. We're all maybe working extra hours. Maybe we're doing extra things and so it's this buildup of things and take a pause for a second. Take a pause, take a breath, and just soak in the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and allow what Jesus came to do. Allow the birth of that child to make what happens on Friday night and Saturday look a little different, feel a little different. Let's not go through this week biting off people's heads. Let's not go through this week worn out and tired. Jesus came to give us rest. Jesus came to give us life abundantly. These are the things that the believers at least should be walking in. And when you go to work with a smile on your face Thursday, and when you go to the parties that you're going to be going to, and you walk in with a little bit of life. Last night, I went to Philadelphia and I did something there. And I walked in, and as I was walking in, the woman met me at the door, me and Kim at the door, and she said, I don't know what happened, but all the kids have grown up, and so it's not like it used to be. So we walked in, Kim and I, and I can't tell you everything I did because I don't want to ruin anything. If you know what I do this time of season, then you know what I do. But we walked in, and we were the life of the party. Why? Because we bring Jesus in with us. Yes, we're dressed up like certain people, but we bring Jesus with us, and we make a difference in people's lives. And we had the place jump in. I mean, and we had the older kids, man, they were right in front of us and glued into what we were saying and glued into what we were doing. And when we left, she goes, oh my gosh, she said, what a difference. And all I can say is, listen, it's the joy of the season. It's the joy of what this baby came to do in our lives. Amen? And so he changed us. And so through this Christ of Christmas, your life can be totally changed. That's what I want you to see. And we're not even in the message yet, but don't worry. I don't need a lot of time today. We're going to the message right now. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Somebody's like, oh, no, he's on a road. We're never getting out of here. You're getting out of here. Trust me. All right? Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let's read it. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and we know the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Let me pause there at verse 31. We don't, as what would we be? Isn't that terrible? I know the term. Let's say evangelicals. Protestant, that's what we are. Protestant. We don't believe, as the Catholic Church does, that Mary should be praised and worshiped. I hope you understand why that is, because when we start to worship and praise people rather than God, we take our focus off of who truly matters, and we place that focus on other things. And this is why we don't have saints. The Bible says that we are the saints. The Bible says that as when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become the saints. We become the children of God. And so we don't look to a man. We don't pray to a man when our keys are lost. We don't pray to this person because this or whatever it is. We don't do that. The Bible says the only way to Father God is through Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. And so we pray to him. But I also want to make this clear, because this is where the Protestants fail. We don't recognize that Mary found favor in the sight of God, and that there was something precious about this woman who gave her life up to be ridiculed, almost be killed. She could have been killed. She could have been stoned, and took that on so that she could bring into this earth the Son of the living God. And we see that when it says that she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. Mary wasn't looking for favor. Mary wasn't looking for blessing. And God says, "Hail, favored one. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And Mary's like, "What? What is this about? I don't know if I'm ready for this. I'm a teenager. I don't know if I'm ready for this." And so she wasn't looking for that. Mary wasn't looking for acclaim. Mary, if Mary was here today, I guarantee that she would tell the church, "Don't worship me. I'm worshiping my son. He's my savior." And we know that Mary got saved, and we know that Mary was with the disciples wherever Jesus was. She followed him. What does that say? And so let's keep this thing in focus today. And so verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son," capital S, "Son of God, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Oh, my ADHD kicked in there. What I meant to say was this. This is the way my brain works. I'm so sorry. So let us not just forget about Mary, but let us recognize that there was something special that God saw. There was something special about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the sinful world, Noah found grace. He would be the man that God would use to save the world from total destruction. Mary was favored. Mary, God saw something in this young woman who would say, "Let it be to me as your word says." And so it's not that we're going to worship them. We don't worship Noah. We don't worship Daniel, or we don't worship any of those. But it's that we honor and say, "Wow, there was something special about them." And what I would like to do is I would like to, as I model Jesus, I would like to model some of the traits that were in these godly men and women's lives. That's why we have their names and their stories written in the Bible. Does that make sense today? Now let's get into the rest of this. Verse 32, "He will be great and be called the Son of God the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, praise God, listen, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And I want you today to see the seven words that make up verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say that with me this morning. With God, nothing is impossible. Say this. Everything is possible with God. As the brother has a shirt that says, actually, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's talk about a Christmas mess. A Christmas mess. Anybody ever have one of those? Christmas mess. If I could today, I would play you a clip, and I could pick any one of them, of Chevy Chase in a movie called Christmas Vacation. We all know the movie. I'm not going to pick any of those clips because as a pastor, I need to be careful what movies I bring out and things like that because though I love that movie, though I have lived that movie as an Albert, and it exemplifies so many of our Christmases together, Kim and I always try to watch the cut version that comes on TV because if you know the movie, as it gets worse and worse, Chevy Chase gets a little more vocal and vocal until the point that there's some words that come out that I'm really not happy about. I don't think they glorify Jesus Christ. But we get it. We've all been there. He had a dream, the perfect family vacation. We're going to host it. We're inviting everybody, and the Christmas lights don't work. And Cousin Eddie shows up unannounced. That's enough in its own, right? And the tree goes up in a poof of flames. And the swimming pool that the down payment is placed on can't take place because the Christmas bonus doesn't seem like it's coming. Anybody ever been there? Some of us have lived a little Christmas a little too close to that once in a while. Perhaps, let's not glorify the old flesh, but perhaps some of us have even acted like Chevy Chase in some of those scenes, in some of those things. And you could come up with the reasons of why Christmas was a disaster or why Christmas was a less ideal situation than what you thought. And I'm sure that every one of us would be able to say, oh, it was devastating. In our family, when kids were young, Santa always decorated the tree. So we all went to bed with a bare tree and we would wake up in the morning with two very, 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 very tired parents, but a tree that just glowed when it was plugged in. Kim and I did that for our own kids. They would go to bed with a bare tree, and by the next morning, they would wake up with very, very, very... Actually, sometimes I would pass them in the hallway going to bed as they were getting up, but the look on their face as the tree was plugged in was just magical. I'll never forget, one day, at about 4, 5 a.m., as we're getting everything ready, trees decorated, we hear this crash. We know what it is instantly. The whole tree has fallen. Decorations are broken. It's 5 a.m. Wow. Now, you know your pastor doesn't have a lot of patience. God is still working with me. You ask my wife if this is not true. I picked up that tree and I threw it out the door into the front yard. I was so furious. And then Kim looked at me and said, what was that about? Yeah, that wasn't a smart choice. And so I go out and I get the tree and I bring it back in. And now we have more. And oh my gosh, you talk about the Chevy Chase Christmas. Now, I didn't use the words that Chevy Chase used, but I'm trying to let you know, we've all had plans at Christmas. We've all experienced things at Christmas, which should be a very joyful experience, that have been less than ideal. Amen? Okay? You could probably tell the same story or very similar to what I just told. The first Christmas that we just read about, that birth of our Savior, it didn't seem to go too well either, did it? First, we have a teenage pregnancy in a time of history when it was not accepted or expected. Frank E. Gabelin, in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, explains it like this. Listen to what this was. This was the betrothal. This was the process that Mary and Joseph had entered into. It was a year-long process before marriage. Since a betrothal often took place soon after puberty, Mary may have just entered her teens. This relationship was legally binding, but intercourse was not permitted until after marriage. Only divorce or death could sever betrothal. And in the latter event, the girl, though unmarried, would be considered a widow. I bring that up to let you know how serious this relationship was that Mary and Joseph had entered into. And for Mary then to be found with child that wasn't Joseph's, even though it should have never been Joseph's in that year of betrothal, was a problem in the society. It was a problem for her. She could have been stoned by the law. And so this was something that Mary went through. And yet she still says in the scripture, I need you to see this. Let it be to me as your word has said. C.S. Lewis, just writings that I love to read. Very deep, but yet I think just fantastic. Christian, believer, and theologist says this. The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man and a baby, but before that was a fetus in a woman's body. Can you see what this situation meant to this young mother? Do you see what it meant for her to put her life on the line? And then when she goes to have her baby, there's no place for her to stay. There's no comfortable place for her to give birth. And her baby is born in a barn. Come on, moms, think about that. Her baby is born in a barn, and his first cradle is not the sticks that we see in all the plays. If you know anything, there's no wood in Bethlehem. It's stone. It's all stone. And so he was laid in a stone feeding trough. That's what a manger was. Think about that, moms of young children. You want to lay your babies down in a warm room. You want to lay them down with blankets. You want to lay them down with pillows and whatever you want to do. Mary didn't have that option. This was the birth of her child. You see, I say all that to say this. We have this perfect idea of Christmas. We are a lot like Clark Griswold. But when it doesn't happen, we get mad, we get upset, or even worse, we act out in some other way against God. In these times, we have to remember, listen, nothing is impossible with God. Let me say it again. Nothing is impossible with God. We don't see that Mary fretted. We don't see that Mary threw up her hands in exasperation. We don't see that Mary just said, I'm not having this baby now. Well, guess what? She's having him anyway. So it doesn't matter. We don't see any of that. Mary, Lord, let it be unto me as your word has declared. Mary says, okay, Joseph, if this is all we have, this is where this child is going to be born. If this is all we can do, then this is the most comfortable we're going to make him. This is what we're able to do. Because nothing is impossible with God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to go the way you think it's going to go. And that doesn't mean that we even have a right to expect it to go the way that we think it's going to go. But it does mean that God can take our failures, and God can take our weaknesses, and God can take our mess ups, and he can bring us back to what his plan for us has been all along. Come on, I'm speaking to someone today. Amen. You see, it's all about our trust in God. That's what it really comes down to this Christmas season. Or maybe we'll just find out that we're trusting in something else or someone else. In verse 36, the angel tells Mary about her cousin Elizabeth. This is now what he says, the fifth month or the sixth month with her, and the miracle of that birth, the miracle of Elizabeth's birth. It's important that we look back at that incident to get a better understanding. And so all we have to do is go back in Luke 1, just up a few verses, and let's pick it up at verse 18. Luke 1, verse 18. Zacharias is Elizabeth's husband. He's the priest. And Zacharias said to the angel, the angel has just told him that he's going to have a baby. Zacharias is very old. Elizabeth is very old. The Bible says she's beyond childbearing years. And Zacharias says to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. He's the messenger of God, who stands in the presence of God and who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Listen, get a hold of this. If you've got a word from God, if you've got a promise from his scriptures that you are standing upon, and maybe it hasn't come about yet, and maybe it hasn't materialized yet, you just need to understand. Here's what Gabriel told Zechariah. Listen, I'm the messenger. I've stood in front of God, and I've heard him say this word. Your wife is going to have a child. And so just know that these things are going to happen. And I've come to bring you glad tidings. But behold, Gabriel says, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which are going to be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias had gone into the Holy of Holies. And the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak, and they perceived that he had seen a vision. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, verse 23, as soon as the days of his service was completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Women back then, if they could not have children, it was a reproach, especially if they couldn't have a male child. It was a reproach to them. It was just a letdown and a great shame for them. There's a great lesson for each and every one of us this Christmas season here. I want to compare two people. Zechariah was the priest. Zechariah was a man of God's presence. He was a man of God's word. And yet when God's word comes to him through the mouth of an angel that is standing before him, he doesn't believe it. That would be like your pastor today speaking a word from the word of God that I don't believe, and trying to build up a good feeling and a good emotion in the house, or try to excite people in their homes and not believe what I'm saying. There are many pastors who are in pulpits today that are doing that. How do I know that? I've seen them on TV, and they've said, we don't believe what we're preaching. We don't believe the Bible anymore. And I'm thinking, why are you still in ministry? And then it clicks. Oh, well, that's how I make my living. Sad. I don't know who those pastors are. They grayed out their faces on the news channel. But I'm hearing more and more and more of this in the Christian realm, that there are pastors in pulpits today not believing what they're preaching. I want you to know something about this frail flesh. I believe everything that I bring to you. I believe it. I've experienced it. I know that it's true. And there will never be a message that I speak that won't be something that I believe. And it will always be from every page of the Word of God. I'm not going to take out the nasty stuff. I'm not going to take out the ugly stuff. I'm not just going to preach the tickle the ears messages. I'm going to bring you the truth. And sometimes it's going to rub us wrong. And sometimes we're going to say, man, I'm not going back to that place. But I want you to know, when the truth comes out, it may make us a little sad at first, but it will always set us free. I need you to know that today. And so here's this priest who doesn't believe, and he looks at the situation from a physical standpoint. He doesn't look at it from a spiritual one. He doesn't look at it from what he knows of God. He looks at his age. He looks at his wife's age. She's far past beyond the point of naturally being able to have children. You see, in the natural, it can't happen. And I think sometimes, and it's not just the Christmas season, but I think sometimes we come to places in our lives where, well, that just can't happen. That's no longer able to happen. How many times have we seen, and I just use a couple of families as an example in our church through all the years that I've been here. They couldn't have children, and so they adopt. And then guess what happens after they adopt? They end up having children. See, nothing is impossible with God. God can do these things. And so we look at things from a natural point and we say, wow, that can't happen. I can't believe for that. They tell me in the world that this can't happen. They tell me, the doctor tells me this is where I'm going to end up. The boss tells me this is all I'm ever going to be. The world tells me this is all I can ever expect. I want you to know, with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Because of the birth of this Savior, because of the birth of this child, with God, nothing is impossible. And so expect and pray like you expect. That's why it was important for me to say, without putting anybody down today, and I watched your faces and some people were like, oh, does he mean I can't pray? No. What I was saying was in that we need to have some warfare today for these women. We just don't need a prayer. Lord, just heal Christina. God, just heal Charlie. God, just listen. Those prayers work. God answers those. But it's when the people of God get really military. Is that the word? Militarial? Whatever. When we really enter into the battle and say, you know what? These sisters are in bad shape. These sisters are experiencing things that are bad. This, if it wasn't, the doctors may be saying you're going to end up on this machine or that machine or this. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't care if it's been that way since COVID started. It doesn't have to be that way. God can change it, and God will change it. And that's what we need to believe. And so I was trying to get your faith to rise so that when we prayed for these sisters, it would be a prayer that says, God, we believe this. God, we know this. God, this is what you're going to do, God. And this is what we're asking for. Hallelujah. All because of Christmas. And so the priest, the man of God, can't believe what God says, but a teenage girl who has totally no idea how this thing is going to work. You mean I'm going to be pregnant and I'm not going to know a man? God, I don't understand this. And she says that. It says that she doesn't understand what goes on, but she opens up her life and just takes God at his word. The priest can't do it. The one who preaches the word can't do it. The one who's in the God, in the word can't do it. He's in the scriptures. But this little teenage girl, verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. In other words, here I am, God. Let it be to me according to your word. And when the angel heard that, he departed. I believe this Christmas season, I believe going into 2022, I believe with what we're facing with COVID and Omicron, and guess what, folks? Next flu season, it'll be another strain of it. And it's never going to go away. You need to understand that, okay? It's never going to go away. And don't blame it on the unvaccinated people, because more vaccinated people are getting it than unvaccinated people and some that in the situations that I'm watching and keeping account of. I can only go by what I know. And so it's not about vaccinated, unvaccinated. It's not about that. It's about this is something that the enemy is bringing against our world. This is something that the enemy is bringing to cause division in our world. And you know what? The church should be able to rise up. I told Kim the other day, I said, listen, honey, I'm not falling into this fear. If our governor says there's a mask mandate or you got to close the church, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're going to go against that because we're not going to close the church again. We cannot do that in the day that we're in. Things are happening and God is moving. And so we're going to go forward in what God tells us to do. Now, I don't know if the governor is going to do that, but I'm just setting things in my heart as the leader that this is what we're going to do. We're going to follow God and we're going to ask God to lead us and to guide us in what he's doing. But I believe that we need some believers. I believe that we need some children of God who will just begin to take God at his word this Christmas and go into the new year this Christmas and just say, God, I'm not talking about those who are learned, those who know every verse, those who can just quote every verse and know every promise of God. I'm talking about those who may not get it naturally, like a teenage girl. I'm talking about those who may not understand it totally, but going into this new year, it may be totally against what we know naturally, but going into this new year, they're going to hear the word of God and they're going to say, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. That's the effect that Christmas has in our lives. That's the effect of this Christmas Savior. That's the effect of having God with us and having God in us. Amen? Amen. You see, the ideal Christmas has already been performed. And so if you're going to invite the family and you're going to have the perfect Christmas and you're going to have the perfect tree and you're going to have the perfect this and you're going to do all of these things, I want you to know you cannot build upon what God has already done on the first Christmas. He gave his son. He sent his son to live on this earth. There's nothing that you and I can do to build upon it. There's nothing that you and I can do to make it better. The problem is that fact that we try to make our own Christmas based on what we want or what we desire. And in many ways, in doing that, we leave the very reason for Christmas outside because of what we think or what we want. And so let's look at it today in closing. Jesus wasn't born into a wealthy family. He didn't have powerful connections. They didn't have authority in the world they lived in. His parents weren't influential. They were a pregnant teenager and a middle to lower class fiancé. And maybe your family situation, or maybe your financial situation, or maybe something else in your life is less than ideal right now for Christmas. I get it. Don't worry about it. Christmas is about what looks less than ideal. Christmas is not about what looks less than ideal. It is about that which is far more greater than anything that we could ever expect or even understand with this brain. It's about the birth of a Savior. The Nativity story teaches us that God can use every situation, that God will use every person, and that he can use everything for his glory. Does that make sense? Luke 2, verses 10 to 12. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's it. This shall be a sign to you, church. This shall be a sign to you, sister. This shall be a sign to you, brother. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Have you found the babe in a manger today? Do you know who he is? Have you opened up your life like Mary did and say, you know what? I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. It's not natural. It can't happen in the natural world. But let it be unto me as your word has declared. It may seem insignificant. He wasn't famous, the Savior. He had no place to lay his head as a baby. Most people didn't even know that he had been born in that manger. His birth was far less than ideal. but he was and is the very Son of God. He is our Savior today. He is the one in whom all of our hope will be found if we will just turn to him today. He is the source of true life. He is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the one who will stick closer than a brother in every situation. Some of your brothers will leave. Some of your sisters will leave. Some of your family will leave. Some of your friends will leave you in situations. Some people won't stand by you in situations. God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise that he has made. He is the one who loves you today, greater than any person could ever love you. He is the one who will heal you today. He is the one who has a word for you today, an encouraging word that he will speak over your life today. He is the one whom you can trust when everyone else has turned their backs. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, God with us and God in us. Let's pray.